All right, we're gearing up. Game number 5 tonight in Memphis. And Slee with the pre coming up for you in 62 minutes. I think I've got that right. So bad at math. So it's 2 o'clock call of the day. Andy Kamenetsky's in for John. That means, Andy, it is your job to pick a number 1 through 10.
Let's go 6.
Line 6. Mark in Manhattan Beach, one of Ireland's neighbors. Mark, what's going on, man? Don't ask us how we're doing.
Hello, fellas. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Talking some Lakers hoops. Yeah, to me, I echo what you guys said. I was at that game, game 4, and honestly, Grizzlies should have closed it out, and they really did everything to give that game away there. If you're Taylor Jenkins, you're beside yourself. Besides Bane, nobody was hitting shots. You were having success in the paint, and luckily they were taking a bad, terrible three-pointers to allow the Lakers to make that run tight there. You know, LeBron makes that incredible run and score there to take in the overtime, and obviously overtime to take over the game. But you can't mess around tonight. I expect LeBron, AD, Reeves, Hachimura, and the defense to lock in early. You want to go for the knockout shot. This Grizzlies team is rattled already. Brooks is unhinged. He has the wrist injury. So you take everything into account, and with the injury history of this team, you got to end it, and hopefully the Lakers and, excuse me, the Kings and Warriors beat each other up, which will allow them more downtime. So this, don't mess around tonight, because we know that place is going to be rocking in Memphis at FedEx. And if you're the Lakers, you want to take them out early, because if not, you're going to have another repeat of game 2, which you embarrassed yourself in a debacle form. So go in there, knock them out early, end it, rest up for most likely, I don't know, Kings, Warriors, whoever, but let them battle each other out 7 games, take care of business, and let's get ready for the next round, fellas.
Awesome call, Mark.
Quality, Mark. Quality.
Appreciate the phone call. See, that's what I call a 2 o'clock call of the day right
that
there.
That was a good 2 o'clock call of the day.
Really
nice
good
job.
Call. Really good call. And he makes an interesting point. The one thing that the Grizzlies did when they were home is they came out like a house on fire, right? And their energy really overwhelmed the Lakers in that game. And I think that's one of the things that the Lakers need to do tonight is to get off to a really good start and see if you can limit the pandemonium of that crowd.
See, I don't even think it was so much they overwhelmed the Lakers with their energy in game 2 in Memphis as the Lakers just deciding to show up in second gear. Like, they just collectively showed up with less energy, whether it's because you already have your split, whether just we've seen a tendency of this team to relax at times
yep.
when they don't have to play their absolute hardest. They need to recognize, like, this first quarter, I think, could be everything for Memphis. Like, I don't think they're going to give up no matter what happens, but I do think you could get them way out of character if you come out and you end the first quarter winning.
He used the word unhinged. If you can come out with a big first quarter and get them a team that's, I think it's fair to say, not emotionally mature.
No.
To get that team unhinged, or as you say, on tilt, I think that the Lakers win this game. I actually think I have great confidence in the Lakers winning tonight.
I think they're going to win.
Yeah. Bergman, do you think they're going to win?
Yeah, I do think they're going to win. I think they had their best shot. Memphis's best shot was that last game, and they got beat up, and they lost in overtime, and now they're not going to come back from it. I think it's over. 5 games.
Nice. I love it when Bergman's wrong. You were wrong.
I was wrong.
You were wrong. You had Memphis in 6.
Like I
always
say.
That's what Brian had.
Like I always say.
This is not an expression
you say
all the time.
Don't mistake a prediction for fandom.
Yeah, that is not, he always says.
I say it all the time.
It's like I always say. It's not, you've never said that till yesterday.
Greg, how many years have we known each other? Maybe close to a decade?
Yeah,
something
close
like that?
To, yeah.
Never heard you say that once.
Never. I say it all the time.
Jorge, have you ever heard him say it before yesterday?
Yeah, all the time.
No.
Thank you, Jorge.
It's not on the air.
Yeah. Just not on the air.
It was not on the air. Yeah, you can look at my Twitter feed.
Yeah, I cannot find that on your Twitter feed.
I can show it to you. Want me to screenshot it and send it to you?
Yeah, Carter, man. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. See? Jorge knows.
What? Why are you looking at me like that for?
You guys are thick as thieves.
I don't know.
As my mom. Thick as thieves. Like, you always have the same.
I hear him all the time.
Jorge.
Why am I going to lie about that?
Why don't you should think, you shouldn't always go along with Bergman. You should also, like, have the original Jorge thoughts.
What thoughts?
Jorge, what do you think?
They're the disgusting brothers over there.
Disgusting Brothers is great.
They're the disgusting brothers.
The disgusting brothers is a great name for them.
That makes you Tom, I guess.
You know, in a random...
Have you seen White Lotus?
Have you seen White Lotus?
See? He thought it was funny.
So, Andy... I don't think we need to spoil anything from this last episode.
No.
But everybody knows there's a battle for who is going to run Waystar.
Assuming there's still a Waystar.
Yeah. Who do you think wins?
Who do I think wins?
Who wins in this war of succession?
What's interesting about that question is I think what the show's actually driving at is no matter who ends up in charge of Waystar, nobody wins. These people are going to be miserable
no matter what.
I think that's sort of the point. None of them are ever going to feel satisfied with any of this. Because look at Logan.
Yeah.
When we've acknowledged what happened to Logan.
We acknowledged he's dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the years that we saw Logan mm-hmm. at the head of Waystar, the head of like everything, one of the most powerful people on the planet. That's right. Not hyperbole. When did he ever look either happy or even satisfied with any of it?
Did Logan ever have like a happy moment ever in the history of the show?
No.
I don't think so.
No. I mean, if he were more satisfied with everything going on, like felt like, okay, I have achieved this thing, he would have actually set up his children, like really worked with one, two, maybe all of them to actually run Waystar. He went out of his way to make sure that none of them were actually qualified to do this.
Right. He turned it into a knife fight.
Well, he didn't want any of them to actually be so qualified that everybody else would say, okay, it's clearly got to be Ken, or it's clearly got to be Roman Shiv. Connor.
It's not going to be Connor.
It's never going to be
Connor. I love Connor, though. One of my favorite characters in the show.
Connor is maybe my favorite character.
Yeah, he's so funny.
But he has.
He's going to get that 1% in this presidential
unless
election.
He gets squeezed.
Unless he does get squeezed. You mean you can go lower than 1%? I think Cousin Greg said at one point. Mm-hmm. Go back to the original. Who do you think's running it when it's all over?
Ultimately, when it's all said and done, wow, this is a hard question because they've sent so many signals
mixed
in so many
messages,
different directions.
Yeah. A name.
Jerry.
It'd be good full circle.
I love Jerry. You know, Jerry got very, very sexy this year.
Sexy?
Yeah, don't you think?
You know what she's doing?
I think Jerry got sexy this year.
She's showing Roman what he can't have.
Oh, yeah, poor Rome. Who's he going to text? Bergman,
can't text his dad anymore.
Who do you think winds
for the best.
Up running the company at the end?
So it's none of the kids. None of the kids are going to get it. It would just be fitting for them to completely lose it. Nobody deserves it. So I like the Jerry one, but I think it's probably. I mean, I didn't see the last episode, so
Just take a shot.
Matson.
It's definitely still in the mix.
Yeah.
Jorge, what do you think?
Never seen an episode. I don't know what you're talking about. Just know the song because you play it. That's it. That's all I know about Succession. And then you spoil it every time.
I think it's going to be Shiv. Especially after this last episode, I feel like it's going to be Shiv.
The only problem with that theory, because you are correct, without giving anything away.
Yeah, nothing given away this last episode.
The way the show ends, Shiv looks like she could have a lane. But we've seen Shiv so many times just step on a rake. Like, there is no such thing as a rake that is too far that Shiv can't step on it.
True. It's very true. Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see the way it turns out. You know what? I'll say this. I love the show. They're missing Logan. Logan is such a great character. They're missing the energy and the anger and the everything that Logan brings since he died.
You know what, though? Yes, in the sense that he's an incredible character and Brian Cox is an incredible actor and has been for a long time. But there is something I think really fascinating and I think was needed for the show. We finally see what they are like without Dad there to both lord over them, but also fix everything for them. They
right.
never had to do anything.
True.
Because ultimately, no matter how badly they screw up, I mean, think about what Ken did
yep.
in season one. Like, their dad, ultimately, he may screw up their lives.
Yep.
He's made them all complete messes. But he takes care of everything. And he lords over them. Seeing them actually have to figure it out without him, the one thing they've all claimed that they've wanted anyway, I think it's really interesting.
I think Succession already is like one of the five greatest shows I've ever
watched. It's a phenomenal
watched.
Show.
It's Would phenomenal. You put it top five?
I can see where it's in the conversation. I mean,
Wire, like, Breaking Bad, Sopranos, Succession.
See, for me, The Shield's going to be top five.
You
the
like
Shield,
Shield
is absolutely
yeah.
going to be
it's
top
such
five.
Such a great show.
It's I never Shield. Watched The
Andy
Shield.
Got me into The Shield, and now I've watched it two or three times it's because it's so good.
It has, Greg, will, I think, will back me on this, hands down best series finale of any show.
Oh, it's so good.
It,
yeah?
It great. Is gut-wrenching and brilliant.
Wow.
And dark.
Bergman, Succession, top five show all time?
Yeah, it's probably up there, but I mean... We're just going with drama, right?
Yeah, just drama. Take out Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld and all those.
Yeah, yeah. And any no sitcoms.
No sitcoms.
So yeah, I mean definitely it's gotta be top five. It's written so well. It's a nice tight, what is it, four seasons?
Yeah, nice tight four seasons. They're getting out
perfect
before we all get tired of it.
Yep. I mean it's
like Ted Lasso. I'm glad Ted Lasso's ending.
It should end.
I will say this. I think it's HBO's best show ever. I actually think it's
better
than
The Wire.
Better
than Sopranos and better than The Wire.
Ooh, The Wire.
The Wire's amazing.
The Wire's going to be ahead
of
it.
I've watched The Wire twice.
The Wire is ahead of it because I don't think there's ever been anything like The Wire. Although, fifth season of The Wire, it's not great.
Well, that's why this is only four seasons.
Yeah.
Right.
The first four seasons of The Wire, amazing.
Yeah.
Fifth season.
You're saying they hung around.
I would also.
And Succession is getting out when it's good.
Well, I don't even think The Wire hung around too long. I just think they took a direction in that fifth season that felt more like David Simon trying to like make a statement about the media and newspapers,
right.
Than really further the story,
yeah.
of these characters. But the first four seasons are incredible, and even season five, it's not bad.
I would also
great.
Say that the first five seasons of Game of Thrones are right up there.
Yeah, you're right. Game of Thrones is
if
the
you
top
take
five
out the six, seven, eight season, there's good episodes in there, but the seasons themselves weren't great. The
yeah.
first five seasons of Game of Thrones was some of the best television I've ever seen.
Other than maybe The Wire, I would say Succession is the best thing HBO's ever done.
There you go. All right, so I wanted to get to this last thing before we get to What's Up, Fool. Yeah, exactly. Lakers championship odds. So I'm going to bounce these off you, give you a shot. Mm-hmm. Favorites to win the championship, according to Vegas. Favorites to win the championship. Who do you think the favorite is right now in Vegas?
The favorite to win it right now?
Celtics.
Suns.
Wait, you just said they're not good.
It's not my Vegas. No, this is Vegas.
Vegas.
This
Andy.
Is my opinion.
Oh, okay.
Vegas Andy.
Suns are second best pick.
All right, second.
Was it the Celtics?
At 17-4. The Celtics are number one, yeah, at 9-4.
Especially since the Bucks might be knocked out
as
of today.
I think the Bucks are dead.
Tell me about Vegas, Jorge.
who's three?
Three?
Lakers?
Actually, I still think it's going to be the Warriors.
It's Philly.
Philly.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about Philly.
The Philly-Boston winner is going to the finals.
The reason I didn't think it would be three for Philly is there's this uncertainty with Embiid.
Yeah, it's true.
That's why I didn't think Philly would be there.
Next is Denver at 17-2.
Interesting.
Next is the Warriors at 17-2. Next is the Lakers at 9-1. Which, think about this. The Lakers started out 2-10. Now they're 9-1 to win the championship.
I think they are the only team in NBA history to start 2-10 and make the playoffs.
That sounds right.
They are.
Because there was only a handful of teams that had gone 2-10 and just reached 500
yeah.
by the end of the season. I think they're the only ones that turned it around to make the playoffs.
So there are some odds for you. Coming up next for you is What's Up, Fool?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
What's Up Fool is brought to you by Dos Hombres Mezcal. It's fate. It's friendship. It's mezcal. Dos Hombres.
Listen to what the big voice says.
He's got such a great voice.
He's got such great pipes.
Just incredible.
Let me ask you this. This is something that occurred to me while watching Breaking Bad.
Okay.
I think Cranston's voice sounds like Robert Redford's voice. Think about it.
I'll have to think about that.
Think about it.
But in the meantime, it's What's Up.
I know. Just something to think about on the way home. Wanted to mention it while I remembered.
I'm going
to
be listening to pregame with Slee.
What's up, fool?
Next time, put it in your notes app, and then you can just like go back to it later and send it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the NBA G League now is only missing one team with an affiliate, the Phoenix Suns, after the Portland Trailblazers have decided to create a G League affiliate for the 2023-2024 season.
Okay.
Two questions. How important is having an affiliate, and why doesn't the Suns have one?
I actually think it is really important, especially now that you've got the ability to get players going straight from high school to the G League. You're getting a better look at some of these players close up. It can be a good way to evaluate your own G League talent against really good players. It's just a pipeline. You know, Alex Caruso was discovered by the Lakers essentially through that G League pipeline. You know, Austin Reeves might have been somebody who played with the G League.
Yeah, did he come through the G League?
No, because Reeves never ended. Reeves was signed to a two-way deal.
Okay.
But there could have been a possibility with him there. Caruso absolutely was part of the G League team. I think increasingly it's become more important for teams to have one.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously it's not necessarily a spectator thing. Everybody's not going to watch the G League, but it is important to be able to develop talent. It's also potentially important for guys that now want to skip going to college and go directly. I mean, there are a number of players who've just gone directly to the G League as an alternative to going to college. So I think it's important for that reason, too. No idea why the Suns didn't have one, but it does make sense to have one.
Yeah, they're the only team now after the Trailblazers to not have one. I just don't understand why you wouldn't. Like you said, it's a pipeline.
Maybe you should do some research and find out why they didn't.
I'll call up the Phoenix Suns after the show and see, why don't you have a G League
Suns
affiliate?
Exactly.
Just for Let's tomorrow.
Blame it on
for
Robert
next
Sarver.
What's up, fool?
What's up, fool?
Yeah, it probably is Robert Sarver didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah, he's too cheap.
Sure, makes sense. All right, so I went to dinner last night with some friends, and one of them brought a newish significant other with them.
Nice.
At one point, I was talking to her, and we were talking about Hawaii, and I have Hawaiian turtle tattoos with my kids' initials in them on my calf.
Nice.
It's pretty innocuous, nothing really there. But she said, I love that for you. Should I have taken that as a shot, or do you think it was sincere?
I love that.
I love that for you.
I love that. In other words, I wouldn't want it for me.
Yeah, there's no way I like it. But for you, I love that for you.
You don't know her, right?
No, I was the first time I met her.
Nah, just let it go.
I mean, we laughed about it. It was pretty funny, but
I don't think that's necessarily a slam. I mean, you told her the whole story behind it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, but she said it before I told the story.
See, I think that's significant. In other words, if you tell the story, I lived in Hawaii, I have turtle tattoos, each one, you know, there's my kid's name is in a turtle. Then I think, I love that for you makes sense. I love that for you without the story, I think is
A shot.
I think that's absolutely a shot. I love that for you.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I lived in Hawaii, your parents lived in Hawaii, and then someone else said, oh yeah, he has turtle tattoos, and he goes, I love that for you.
You know what she's saying? you reminded her of a turtle well before she even knew about the turtle
That's
tattoos.
That's true. Or before you turtled
before,
when you met Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah, I had no
idea. Is that why you turtled when you met Stan Van Gundy at
two
the
different
game the
days,
other night?
But yeah, no, it's not.
What are you supposed to do in this situation? He met Stan Van Gundy, or he's introduced to Stan Van Gundy by Momo. And Momo says he turtled, like he, you know, became very shy and
no, but if Stan
didn't
turned around,
talk,
yeah.
Why are you going to talk to him?
Right. So Jorge's got my back. But look, so you have, he's sitting there talking to Ramona. So facing to the left, talking to Ramona. Ramona says, oh, this is Lindsay Fulton and Greg Bergman. He turns to his right, shakes our hand, immediately turns back to the left to talk to Ramona. Am I supposed to stand there and continue to talk or walk away?
I would need to see the exact dynamics of the situation to
you,
know
you
want to
see it again?
So
turtled. He was facing to the left.
Yeah. No, no, this is your version of the story.
It's not the version.
Momo
it's
was
the
there. She says you turtled. Story. You were there. Look,
Lindsay said the same thing.
There are three sides to every story. There's your side.
Four.
Her side and the truth.
Yeah, there's your side, Momo's side, and the truth.
Well, there's Stan Van Gundy's side.
Oh, exactly. Stan, sure. There's four sides.
And there's
right.
Lindsay's side.
And there's Lindsay. There are five sides to every
way
story.
Too many sides to this story. Yeah.
I right. think you should get Stan Van Gundy's face tattooed next to those turtles.
I love that for you.
I love that for you the same as, oh, bless your heart.
It is a little boy. Bless your heart.
It's a cousin at the very least.
It's very close.
It's very close.
Bless your heart and your turtle tattoo.
Bless her heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She thought little of you.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's up, fool?
All right, what's up? So I got a bone to pick with somebody in the room here. Not us, but behind us.
Well, Greg's the only one
behind us.
Oh, behind you. Okay, got it.
So since March, we made a bet with this Papa Shot thing we have over there, right?
Yep.
So DeAndre and I were shooting, you know, a couple baskets the other day. You know, that one day.
Yes.
And he decided to put a bottle up for, like, you know, for a bet. Let's bet a bottle of tequila.
Right.
I killed him.
Yes.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Like four, like it was like a 3-1. You know, I beat him 3 times out of the 4 times we played.
Yep.
Till this day, this guy has not paid me my bottle. The other day he says, let's double it. Let's play again, double or nothing. Should I give him the chance to not buy me a bottle and I can possibly get double, but at this point, I don't want to, because if he hasn't given me one bottle, what makes me think he's going to give me two?
It's a fair question.
Should he pay up as of tomorrow, or should I just forget about my bottle?
How confident are you that you can beat him again?
Oh, very.
You're very confident?
Very confident, yeah.
So what does he want, like best 2 out of 3?
He's like, oh, let's play again, dog. I'll beat you. I'm like, well, I already beat you like 4 times. Like, I don't want
to
play you
again.
So
you beat him
4 times,
you're supposed to get a bottle, and he wants to play a 5th time for the bottle?
Exactly. He's like, oh, I'll play you double or nothing. I'm like, for what? I'm going to beat you again.
Which person? Is it DeAndre?
It's DeAndre, yeah. And he's a hooper around here.
Yeah, DeAndre, you're supposed to be the player. This is,
wait a minute,
a basketball player.
Yeah. Wait a minute, but hold on.
Yeah, a basketball player. He's the guy that plays a lot of hoops.
All three of these guys, Cody, Parker, DeAndre, they all play hoops.
They're on the team together.
This is really revealing, because I remember when we were practicing for pickleball and I got teamed up with DeAndre, and DeAndre, sorry, dude, I know you're watching right now. DeAndre's terrible at pickleball. He's awful.
But
I was told by both DeAndre and other people, put me on the basketball court. That's my wheelhouse. So DeAndre can't play basketball either?
I guess not. He don't want
to
pay up.
Wow. No, DeAndre, I think it's time to pay up.
Thank you.
If he's beaten you 4 times, I think that's enough. He beat you like a drum. And what are you supposed to get? A bottle of?
Tequila.
Tequila. Yeah. Let's go, DeAndre.
Pay up, DeAndre.
Pay up, DeAndre.
Pay up, sucker.
Come at him.
Come at
What's
him.
What's up, fool?
All right, so there's never been an F-bomb in a Marvel movie, and that may come to an end in Guardians of the Galaxy 3 that comes out on May 5th.
Wow.
A leaked scene shows the F-bomb drop. I know you guys don't really care about F-bombs in general, but being that Marvel is very much an all-audience type of movie, how do you feel about F-bombs in a Marvel movie?
I've got no issue. Again, I have no issue with cursing. I mean, I do it all the time. Even Michael Thompson, who never curses, says it doesn't bother him to hear the cursing. Marvel, especially Guardians of the Galaxy, feels like it's much more a family kind of movie.
Right.
Guardians of the Galaxy's got a silliness to it that I think little kids like. So I guess I question why this is the movie where they drop an F-bomb.
Is it going to change the rating at all?
I don't think so. I mean, it might come out as R. Although, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy have a little bit of a higher level of.
Do they have a higher level?
Yeah, it's not as campy as you get from like.
Wait a minute,
Thor.
Guardians of the Galaxy is pretty campy. It's not Thor. Thor is super campy.
Super campy. But no, I think Guardians is a little bit less campy, especially the first one.
Yeah.
The second one was a little bit more so.
I'm sorry, but Deadpool's not Marvel, right?
No.
No, okay. Deadpool.
Well, actually, Deadpool 3 is Marvel.
Yeah, it's
so
going to be
that
a Marvel.
Count as
but, I mean, he's a
one?
Foul-mouthed
oh,
guy.
For sure.
He was not, it was not in the Marvel universe at the time.
Deadpool
so,
no. swears.
So it doesn't count, okay.
Yeah, but I count. Hope when Deadpool becomes Marvel, he still swears.
He
that's kind of like his whole thing.
Yeah, he has
that's,
to.
That's his personality.
If they take that away, then there should be no Deadpool.
Now, is it Groot that swears? Because that would be awesome.
That would be funny.
Groot.
I am effing Groot.
I am effing Groot. Would be awesome.
That would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, I guess. I've got no issue with the F-bomb. Do you have any idea why it is there?
It just was kind of just left in there. It was pretty innocuous. It just kind of like flows into.
I don't have any issue with it. I do think it's weird in a Guardians of the Galaxy movie or Marvel movie, to be honest. Like, it won't offend me. It does feel out of place for one of those movies.
Yeah, it does a little bit, right?
Because they're supposed to play to the broadest possible audience. Like, you're supposed to be able to take your kids, and, like, I'm assuming Riley is going to go see it.
She loves them. She wants to go so badly.
Guardians of the Galaxy is really one of the most fun Marvel things they got. Like, I'm excited for this
wait.
One. It'll be great.
And this will end it, too.
Oh, this is, yeah,
the
right.
The end of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure.
Ends of Guardians of the Galaxy, the movies. It is.
Spoiler. There's no such thing.
No, I mean, most of these guys will always come back, but...
Of course. We will still see all these characters.
Yeah, they'll find little ways in, but they're not making any more movies. Is what
except
Nebula. Well, James Gunn is
Nebula's
gone.
Nebula's boring. I don't think we need Nebula.
Nebula, I think, is the one that actually curses.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
It's in character.
It is in character.
It is in character, yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, James Gunn, who's the director of it and made it what it is gone. He's in DC, so they can't make another one. And
right.
If they do... Wouldn't be as good.
No.
What's up, fool?
I can do one more,
yeah,
or
do
we
one more.
We can go to
Let
break.
Let her rip.
Let her rip. All right. So let's go back to the dinner from last night.
Okay. Okay. All right. It was a very interesting dinner.
So the night ends, and we're saying goodbye, and I give the significant other that we said the whole thing about, you know, I love that for you. Give her a hug goodbye, and she says very plainly, "It was nice meeting you, and I hope we get together again soon." I said, "Cool. Yeah, sounds great." Then she goes to another friend, and her demeanor shoots up.
Okay.
Oh my God, it was so great meeting you. I had so much fun. What a great time, and I can't wait for the next one. Should I be offended again?
Yeah, I don't think this girl likes you.
No. There's no ambiguity about this, Craig.
I love that for you.
So.
And then a really, really low-key
like
goodbye.
Like, oh,
and then over the top
you.
For...
Over the top. Like, beyond. It went like, all of a sudden just shot up. Being like,
yeah,
that was such a great night.
She doesn't like you.
No, not at all.
No.
Not
or
at
the
all.
Turtles.
Or the turtles. Or the turtles. Although she loves them for you.
It's like
she
that
did,
Caddyshack line about
me.
The hat.
Boy, a lot happened at dinner. It was all about this one person, too.
Right, well, just these were the two moments in the dinner
okay,
that really
stood
out.
Has your friend asked you yet? So what do you think of her?
No, that has not come up yet.
Do you think
I'll
he
say
will?
She was very nice. She was great. She was.
Yeah, listen to the podcast. Tell
them. No, exactly. Listen to the podcast. Yeah, you'll find out.
It was all very funny.
Did you like her?
Yeah, she was nice. She was very sweet.
Yeah, it just wasn't mutual.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
I'm very unlikable.
We've got Game of Games coming up, and in Game
What's
of
up,
Games,
fool?
I have a chance this month, Andy, to win Game of Games for the very first time, which is stunning to me that it's taken this long.
That is stunning. That's actually...
We've done this for years. I have never won a month of Game of Games.
I think I've won a month of Game of Games.
I think you did win a month.
I have won a month of Game Jorge of Games.
Jorge's won. Bergman's won. Ireland's won a bunch. Bergman, you're on a roll, right?
Yeah, buddy.
You've won a bunch in a row. I think
it's only been Jorge or I since September.
That's it.
But like, I finished behind Cappy. I finished behind Shadano. I finished behind... What is it? A lack of competitiveness or a lack of intelligence? Which is it?
Well, I know you're really competitive.
I am fairly competitive.
You're super competitive.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we will circle back to the game tonight. Obviously, Lakers in Memphis. John Ireland is going to join us before we get to Game of Games. So we will go live to Memphis, Mason and Ireland. Andy in for John, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we want to meet you guys on Cinco de Mayo down in the OC, ESPN LA taking over Solito.
Let me repeat that.
Solita Tacos and Margaritas in Anaheim for a Cinco de Mayo fiesta. We're giving away Angels tickets, Mandy Awards tickets, Solita gift cards, and more starting at 10 a.m. Everybody's going to be there. Travis and Slee, me in Ireland, Giordano and Cap, the entire 710 crew at Anaheim's hottest new restaurant. That is Solita Tacos and Margaritas. Light the fire within and feed your soul. That is next Friday. Bergman, what did they say on the...
I love that for you?
I love that for you. You should say that to your friend.
Oh, yeah.
I
oh,
love
no.
her for you.
Oh, no, yeah. This is Joshua Neuenhuis.
Yep.
Tell your friend you like her for him.
There you go. Yeah, I think right. That's an appropriate answer.
And then Christopher Holmes says, new daily bit for Greg. Should I be offended?
Should I be offended?
That is a great idea.
Yeah, no, everybody's offended now. John knows that. Ireland is in Memphis. What's going on, man?
What's happening, boys? How are we?
Well, Bergman, I don't know if you heard this. Bergman just related a story about this girl saying to him, a friend of his is a new girlfriend,
yeah.
Saying she loves.
So here, John.
Yeah,
so,
explain the story.
So, yeah, so we were having dinner and we were talking about Hawaii, and it came up that I have turtles on my legs. That are tattoos. And she
yeah,
before
not actual
she
turtles.
Yeah, no, yeah, tattoos. And so before it even got to the story of why I have the turtles or that my children's initials are in them, she says, "I love that for you."
I love that for you.
For you.
I love that for you.
So is that a shot?
Yes.
Exactly. It's a shot.
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt.
I love that for you. It's also like, demeaning.
I would never do it. But for you, you know, pool in a pond. Pond would be
it is kind of bless your heart.
Yeah, bless your aw.
It
bless
is.
Your
that's
heart.
Good, that Mace. For you. It is bless your heart.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the night, we were saying goodbye, and she very plainly, we gave a hug and the whole thing very plainly. It was very nice meeting you, and I hope we can get together soon.
Yeah, sure.
And then goes to the next person, and she goes, "Oh, my God, it was so great meeting you. I had so much fun. What a great time, and I can't wait for the next one."
Yeah, she found you wholly unimpressed.
Yeah, she was really unimpressed.
Which, Greg, by the way, is fine. I've been in like job interviews before, and I get a vibe in like the first 5 minutes if the person's into me.
Yeah.
And if you can tell they're not, I just always end it.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
Like, this is going nowhere. So, you know, now, Greg, you know.
So, Ireland, describe the environment. Paint a picture of what's going on in Memphis.
Well, the good news is Anthony Davis is already out there.
Excellent.
Warming up. You can tell he looks like he's on a mission. He's moving pretty well. Right now on the court, there are only two players, Jared Vanderbilt and Anthony Davis. Mm. There are no Grizzlies and no other Lakers. So there's a bunch of coaches, AD and Vando. That's it.
Dylan Brooks hasn't done anything stupid yet?
Not yet, but there's still plenty of time before the game starts. And for that matter, while the game is going on, for Dylan Brooks to do something stupid. We'll have to just wait and see.
Do you agree, Ireland? We were talking about this earlier. I don't think I've ever seen an athlete demand all the smoke, then run from it more than Dylan Brooks.
That is a great question. Has anybody ever talked this big and then ducked it when it went bad?
Like this quickly? Like, it's one thing to duck it, but he immediately
said, "Oh, you guys made me the bad guy." No, you made you the bad guy.
Yeah, and you have to wonder if he'll be part of this team next year, especially if the Lakers win tonight. Because, you know, I think they like him. I think they like his defense and his toughness for what they bring. But he did them no favors by calling out LeBron, that's for sure.
We were talking a little earlier, John, that was you know, sometimes you get caught up in a moment, and I got to be at the game for the finish and saw
yes,
the way
I
the
was
crowd.
Very proud of you. Yeah. You stayed until the very end. You buried the curse forever.
I'm like a lucky charm.
Yeah, now you are.
Let's not push it.
So that was LeBron's signature moment as a Laker, I think, without any question.
It's my favorite LeBron game as a Laker. I mean, he's had games with more points. I've seen him, you know, get a 56-point game. He had great games in the bubble when they won the title. But on a night when Anthony Davis didn't have it, and it looked – well, Mace, you were there. It looked at least three times like we were losing.
Yeah.
And he basically put the team on his back, especially with that last play. You know, think about that last play for a second. There are 6 seconds left. Memphis is up 2.
Yep.
Why didn't they – when LeBron turned the corner mm-hmm. and was going for the layup, why not hammer him there?
Why not foul him at
least
that
way
point?
He has to shoot 2 free throws.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I guess maybe you would worry that he would get an and one and you could lose.
Yeah.
But to put him
in a one-on-one situation.
Yeah, those would have been incredibly hard free throws to make.
That was a very difficult layup LeBron right. made. That was a tough layup over Jaren Jackson.
So you wouldn't have even thought about fouling him?
No, make him make that layup. That was not a routine layup he made.
Insanely difficult layup,
yes.
Michael.
Okay, so I got a question for all you guys. And as you can tell, Michael's playing a little bit hurt. He had yesterday, yeah. Michael, I was really worried about you.
Man, MT, you doing okay?
Yeah, much better, Dad. You know when you have a head cold and your head just feels like Shaq is sitting on it? That's how my head felt.
That's how you feel.
Michael basically flew. We had a 3-hour flight, and his head was in his hands for the whole 3 hours.
Wow. Yeah.
I kept going back there trying to get him to eat or drink something. He's like, leave me alone. But let me ask all three of you guys this.
Mm-hmm.
Mace, you were there, so you saw it. I don't know if they made a big deal about it on TV. Had, at the end of the game, Memphis had 0.8. remaining after LeBron hit the layup.
Yep.
Anthony Davis blocked a shot, and LeBron picked up the ball and hit like a 50-footer.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Had that counted, all right, it was 1 second too late. Michael, had that counted, would it have been among the greatest shots in NBA history?
Oh, of course. Definitely.
I mean,
right up the top five.
I think about Kyrie's shot against the Warriors.
Yep. Well, that won a championship, of course. Yeah, but it wasn't the last shot. You're
Ray
right.
Ray Allen's shot in yep. the corner
oh, yeah.
that saved the Heat.
Yeah.
But this would have been –
that would have been a game clincher. For
a game – yeah. they would have won a playoff game yep. on a 55-footer.
Oh, yeah, that would be in the annals of history.
Andy, what do you think?
It would be up there with any of the great shots of all time. I mean, think about the stakes there. Think about putting up that 3-1 lead. I mean – one of the most famous shots I can recall of LeBron that wasn't like, you know, the chase down blocker at the rim. Remember he hit that game winner against Orlando?
A three with the clock expired.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
Cleveland.
Yeah. That's
And
that's,
this shot, Andy, was farther than that shot.
It's pretty
that
crazy.
That shot was inside their own half court. This was behind the half court line.
So apparently on TV it was clear that it was not in time. But
it was very much not in time.
But in
sure.
the arena, I was like, I jumped. I mean, I wasn't looking at the clock. I was just looking at the shot, and I was like, holy, you know, he just made that thing.
It's, I mean, forget whether or not it was before the clock or not. Just making
just
that
making
shot,
it, yeah.
period. Mace. Like, if you were just watching some guy do that as a practice shot,
yeah.
that'd Mace. Be pretty amazing.
Mace, now, wait a minute. It was 0.08 on the clock, right?
Uh-huh.
Ja gets the ball, gets it blocked. LeBron picks up the loose ball. You don't think 0.8 seconds had expired by then? What were you thinking, Mace?
No, I thought.
Do you think the score keep as crypto was like, oh, I'll wait for another extra second?
Well, see, Michael, I wasn't looking at the clock. I was listening. John, you were on your feet when he hit that shot.
Yep.
Yeah, but that was like 2 seconds after the block, Mace.
I couldn't believe it went in.
I couldn't either.
I mean, Steph does that all the time. Steph has this ability to make, like, super long shots, even beyond half court. But I don't think he's ever had one like that to win a game.
Michael, since you're there, Michael.
Yeah.
So I sat right behind you guys at that game. How did you get a whole full-size bag of chips into the arena? It was not
mini bags.
At
the store, it's what they call the party size.
Yeah, you got the party. How do you sneak that in? How do you get it in? Where did it come from?
Well, where it comes from and where how I get it is one who is in charge of the taco bar right next to the our section.
Yeah.
I give him tickets to the game sometimes, not expecting anything else, just to be nice because Juan's a good guy because he's one of the workers in the concession areas. And I say, Juan, if you ever need tickets, let me know. And I've given him tickets house many times, and sometimes I walk past him on the way to the man's room or on the way back out. He says, "Yeah, Michael, grab a bag." So he gives me a bag.
Yeah, because it's a full-size bag. Yeah, I mean, I've seen you with, like, the little bags, but that was, like, impressive.
Yeah, no, man, that's going to last me a good week.
You know, Mike, people know about Michael and his eating habits now, and just sitting next to him, people bring by See's candy suckers and chips.
Oh, yeah.
And they bring basically a food truck comes by.
Nuts come by sometimes.
Yeah,
nuts.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's
awesome. I love my nuts.
Yes, you do.
Get your mind out of the gutter, Zach, over there. He's shaking his hand.
Our engineer, Zach, is just realizing he's got 3 hours of this and he can't believe through this.
Yeah,
straw.
Poor Zach. All right, so Game of Games. Ireland, I have got a chance to win this month for the first time ever.
What is the score with four days left?
So Mason has the lead, five. He has five. Sedano and I have three, and then everybody else
Ireland
has two
I've
or
got
one.
Three also.
I only have two.
Ireland, you have three.
You have three.
You're very much alive in this.
Okay.
Momo has two, Morales, everybody else has one.
So if I win today, I tie Mace.
You tie me, that
Same
is correct.
Same with me, yeah.
Whose game is it?
Andy's. I've been trying to get everybody else to do games so that I still got a chance. But tomorrow I finally have to do the game, and then Ireland, you're on Friday, so that means you got to make your
Friday
move.
No, Mike, if there's a game, Michael will do Friday.
Yeah, but
if there's a game.
But I won't be there. Right, Zach? The Lakers going to clinch it tonight.
Zach's a Grizzlies fan.
I know. I'm just
about
rubbing it in over there for him.
All right, so Mace, you can do tomorrow. I will do Friday if there's no game, and Michael will do it if there is a Laker game.
John, you will be doing – I am confident that you will be doing the game on Friday.
That's right.
I'm happy to. That means that the Lakers won tonight.
Exactly.
Jeez, if the Lakers win, I'll do the game. I'll do two games.
There you go.
If the Lakers win tonight, we won't play again until when? Wednesday?
Sunday, probably.
Depending on what the other series does.
No, if the other series goes seven. That all just came out, Mace, the schedule for the next round.
Oh, yeah.
So this is complicated. But if the Warriors-Kings ends in less than seven and the Lakers-Grizzlies ends in less than seven, the next round starts Sunday.
So it's Sunday at Golden State.
Correct. But
Sacramento.
Or Sacramento. By the way, I've already got Golden State advancing, but yeah, it could be at Sacramento.
Well, yeah, Michael and I are rooting very much for the Warriors, not only because of Clay, but because we'd rather go to San Francisco than Sacramento.
Oh, yeah. Much better hotel.
Yeah, exactly. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games with John Ireland and Michael Thompson live from Memphis as we get ready for Game 5. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It is Game of Games time. It is Andy's game today. It is critical. It is critical because I've got a chance. I'm in the running to win the month for the very first time in the history of Game of Games.
You're the Clippers of Game of Games, as somebody said on
the screw you. Now everybody take your shots now.
All right.
It is Andy's game today. Ireland and Michael are playing from Memphis. And, of course, we've got me, Jorge, and Bergman.
And you are keeping score, correct?
Yes, I am going to try to do my best.
Okay, well, after this show, I got to race home to get my daughter to her guitar lesson. She's taking guitar lessons now. And going through my schedule and all that yesterday made me just start thinking about some of my favorite guitarists. So we're going to have trivia about some of my favorite guitarists, multiple choice questions.
Okay.
We begin with Jimi Hendrix. Mm-hmm. What was the name of Jimi Hendrix's first group that he fronted before he became a star with the Jimi Hendrix Experience? Is it JMH Incorporated, Jimmy James and the Blue Flames, or Hendrix's Feedback? JMH Incorporated, Jimmy James and the Blue Flames, or Hendrix's Feedback?
I'll say JMH, Ireland.
Jimmy James and the Blue Flames.
Okay, Michael?
Incorporated.
Jorge?
Jimmy James.
And Bergman.
The third one's Incorporated, right?
No, the third one was Hendrix's Feedback.
I want Hendrix's Feedback.
It is Jimmy James and the Blue Flames.
Oh, so it is Ireland and Jorge on the board.
We go to Prince. Which legendary act did Prince open for in the early 80s, and he was met with so much hostility that he got booed off stage? James Brown, Santana, or the Rolling Stones? James
Ireland.
Brown, Santana, Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones.
Michael.
Stones.
Jorge.
Stones.
Bergman.
Let's stick with the Stones.
Yeah, it is the Stones.
It is the Stones. 81.
Andy, I was there.
You were there?
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
And
did
you boo him?
It was Prince, the Jay Giles Band, George Thorogood, and the Stones.
Yeah.
And Prince got booed off the stage.
Wow,
they were throwing
that's crazy.
Food at him.
Yeah, he was in a bikini briefs and a trench coat, and I guess the fans did not enjoy
that's,
that.
Yeah, no,
it was
that's
before,
a weird
it was
look.
Before Purple Rain.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of the Stones, Keith Richards. Which seriously British food is his all-time favorite meal? Shepherd's pie, bangers and mash, or fish and chips? Shepherd's Ooh. Pie, bangers and mash, fish and chips.
Michael.
Fish and chips.
Jorge.
Fish and chips.
Bergman.
Fish and chips.
I'm going to say bangers and mash in Ireland.
I'm with Mace. Bangers and mash.
Well, you're all wrong. It's shepherd's pie.
Oh!
One time, the Stereophonics opened for the Stones on tour, and their drummer had some of his pie that was supposed to be Keith's, and Keith angrily confronted him.
Wow.
After the show. Wow. He was mad about this.
So a Torre 2, Ireland 2, everybody else 1.
Stevie Ray Vaughan. Which president did Stevie Ray Vaughan play at their inauguration party?
Mm.
Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, or Bill Clinton? Reagan, George H.W. Bush, or Clinton?
Jorge.
Bush.
Reagan, Clinton, or Bush?
H.W. Bush.
H.W. Bush.
I'm going to say Reagan.
Reagan. I'm going to say Clinton, Ireland.
Bush.
Michael.
Clinton.
It's George H.W. Bush.
Yeah. Oh, no. That is Jorge and Ireland taking the point
it
again.
It seemed a little weird to me, but they're both Texans.
Yep.
I think, was the connection.
That is what the connection was. Andy Summers from The Police. Which of these wacky 80s comedies did Andy Summers do the score for? Weekend at Bernie's, Police Academy 2, or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Weekend at Bernie's, Police Academy 2, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Bergman.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I'm going to say Police Academy 2, Ireland.
I'm with Mace, Police Academy 2.
Michael.
What's the first one?
Weekend at Bernie's.
Bernie's.
Bernie's. And Jorge.
Yeah, Weekend at Bernie's.
Bernie's.
It is Weekend at Bernie's. Yeah! I had no idea about that, but Andy Summers did their score.
Michael, Jorge, take the, I'm sorry,
Jorge
Ireland and Jorge take
Jorge
the point.
Jorge takes the lead.
Yeah,
Jorge's
got the lead.
How many are left, Andy?
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4.
By the way, I'm not bucking up my cause to
no,
win
you're
the
not.
Month at all.
Frank Zappa, in 1985, testified in front of Congress to address what issue? Open drug use at concerts, royalties unfavorable for artists, or objectionable lyrics in songs? Drug use, royalties, objectionable lyrics.
It's back to me. I'll say objectionable lyrics. Ireland.
What was the second one, Andy?
Royalties unfavorable to artists.
I'll say that, B.
Royalties. Michael.
Lyrics.
Lyrics. Jorge.
Drugs.
Drugs. And Bergman.
Royalties.
Royalties.
It is lyrics. And
Mason takes the
You
point.
Ever want to see somebody
Did
in
anyone else say lyrics besides Mace?
Me.
Michael, yeah.
Okay, so Michael's got, it's Jorge 4, Michael in Ireland 3, Mace 2, and Bergman 1.
How many left?
3.
Okay, I still got
still
a shot.
Still alive.
Still got a shot.
Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. True or false, Jimmy Page has been knighted. True or false?
Ireland.
False.
Michael.
False.
Jorge.
I know my knights.
False.
Bergman.
I got to go true.
And I got to go true also.
Well, it's too bad because it's false.
Okay, yeah. Mason's out. Bergman's out. It is down to Michael, Jorge, and Ireland.
And Jorge's still one up, right?
Yeah, Jorge's one up.
Okay, so and there's two left.
Two
Andy?
Left.
All right, so Jorge has to go first.
Slash. Which X Games sport was Slash really serious about as a teenager before devoting everything to guitar? Skateboarding, BMX, or snowboarding?
Jorge, you're first.
BMX.
BMX, Ireland.
Skateboarding.
Skateboarding. Michael.
Snowboarding.
Snowboarding, okay.
The answer is BMX.
Yeah!
Jorge wins it.
Jorge wins it. That's a clinch.
Woo!
Nice job, Jorge.
Yeah. Jorge, how many does he have now, Greg?
3.
All right,
so he's you're
back.
Alive in the
I'm
month.
Alive.
I'm alive. I'm
oh,
alive.
I could have used that one.
Yeah, you could have used that one. You would have tied me.
Yeah, that's all right. I got a few more days.
Yeah, a few more days. My game tomorrow, and then hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully my game on Friday. I'd much rather win, have the Lakers win than me win game of games.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's get our priorities in
I'll make that trade. So, Michael, how are you feeling about tonight?
feel good. I think the Lakers will be serious about closing this series off. They've got a chance to do it. They know the Grizzlies are desperate to send this back to L.A., so I guess I'm sure the guys will respect this game the way they're supposed to, and once they come out and get off to a good start, that'll take the crowd out of the game.
By the way, they were making fun of me yesterday because they said, when you meet somebody, like if Momo was to introduce you courtside to somebody, what would you say? And I would say, how you feeling about tonight? Bergman met Stan Van Gundy, and Ramona says he turtled. In other words, he was he didn't say anything. He got really shy. But I would have just said, how you feeling about tonight, Stan? And that would have been a totally acceptable question.
Yes.
Well, I don't understand why they're on you about this. Why is that? Do people think that's offensive or weird in some way?
No, they think it's they all thought it was lame. I'm like, no, this is a way to get people talking. Open-ended question. Give people a chance to respond any way they want. Bergman, you were making fun of me.
I was not.
You were taking shots at me.
That was Mason. That was Momo.
Oh, you're right. It was Momo. Momo was very snooty here yesterday.
Shots all over the place.
Yeah, she really let everybody have it.
You, me, Sedano. Yeah,
she pissed everybody off.
Tell them what you always say, Greg. Tell them what you always say.
It's a good conversation starter, Mace.
Yeah, don't mistake a prediction for fandom.
Look, like Bergman just shied away in the fetal position.
Yeah. He was afraid of Stan Van Gundy.
He became like the turtle on his leg.
Yeah. No, he turned towards me and Lindsay, shook our hands, and then turned back to Ramona. That was the end of the conversation.
Oh.
Turtled. I love the expression to turtle.
It's a great expression.
To get super shy when you meet somebody, to turtle.
To hide in your shell. Yep.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
What
So is the crowd going to be super ramped up tonight, Ireland?
Bergman probably started giggling.
It is going to be insane. Well, they're playing for their lives, literally. Like we said, if they would have lost game two, that their season would have been in serious jeopardy. Now it's black and white. They lose, and the season – get your towel away from me, Zach.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, there's
L.A. Perry. The former Grizzly.
I told you five games. L.A. Perry. I told him five games. He don't believe me. He's shuffling me off.
Yeah. But, Mace, I think the crowd's going to be insane. As LeBron says, the closeout game is always the hardest. Do you believe that, Michael?
Oh, yeah, because the other team's desperate, and they're going to try everything to try to stay alive.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to win this game. But I think they can do it, especially if AD shows up.
Tomorrow, Ireland will be back in studio, hopefully to celebrate a Lakers win and an advance to the Western Conference semifinals to face either Golden State or the Sacramento Kings. Andy, thank you very much.
Always fun.
We will see everybody tomorrow. Go Lakers. I say big night for the King. Let's wrap this up. 710 ESPN.